All right, let's get started again. Thank you for hanging in there with us. I think you're going to really enjoy our next talk here, Depositions in Business Litigation, Breck Johnson. Brett is the head of the litigation department in the office at Winston Strawn in Dallas. He handles large, complex commercial litigation and IP litigation, bet the company type litigation in essence. And he is a JD cum laude graduate of SMU Law School. I think UT undergrad here?
I'm paying for a UT undergrad, but it's for my son, not for me. Baylor undergrad.
Baylor undergrad, that's right. So please join me in welcoming Brett Johnson to talk to us about business depositions in commercial cases.
Thank you. Quentin, thank you for having me. I appreciate that I get to fill in today for my friend and mentor, Tom Melsheimer, to talk about depositions in business litigation cases and really talk about depositions in general. And my thought is we should start where all things should start for a trial lawyer, and that is with trial. Whether I'm teaching my students at SMU or I'm working with colleagues at Winston, I always tell them the best result, whether by judgment or settlement, is driven by the perception you are ready, willing, and able to try your case. And I say that because we've all had cases where the client's like, hey, we're never going to try this case. Or you have clients who say, by God, we'll never settle this case. But the reality is, regardless of what your client may think on the front end, everything you do as a trial lawyer is directed at thoughtfully and strategically preparing the case for trial. And if you do that, you put your client in the optimal position to either win in the courtroom and get their verdict, or a position of strength in the settlement negotiations, because the other side believes that you are ready, willing, and able to try the case. So always preparing with trial in mind is what drives your best results. How do you do that? Well, first thing you got to do is think about who is your audience, okay? This is really what your audience is coming from. This is their background, right? Today, we know, our research shows us that our jurors are besieged with screens. They at times will read news on their phones. They will, while eating in front of a TV, while also having their iPad out, they are conditioned to multitask. Their brain is conditioned to multitask. This is the scene in Anchorman 2 where he's like, you know, we got to have more graphics, more graphics. Well, that is how our jurors are coming to us. They are headline-driven. They often have things spoon-fed to them in the headlines rather than having to delve into the substance. And so the question for us as trial lawyers is, how do we use that? Because there's no difference when they're sitting there reading their phone with the television, with maybe a kid's homework in front of them. There's no difference in all that multitasking and what their brain is going to want to do when they're sitting in the jury box. If you want to see, this is a good example of the impatience of a lot of our, although my box has moved, should be around the Y. It's a good example of the communication style of many of our jurors. Okay? I cannot tell if my son is telling me yes or asking me why. And I'm sure it would have been exhausting to put the extra two letters on this to solve this mystery. But the reality is, this is a, you know, kind of an extreme example of how brevity in communication and efficiency in communication defines so many of our jurors, and is something that we have to deal with as lawyers when we prepare our case for trial. It tells us as lawyers that premiums are placed on compelling narratives. A breach of a supply contract can't be tried as a breach of a supply contract. You have to come up with a narrative around it, or you'll lose your jurors who aren't going to delve into and really can't handle sometimes many of the complex terms in the contract or in the intellectual property license. There can be great value in the headlines that you can use, and I'll talk about how we get those in a minute, to underscore the narratives. as opposed to deeper, longer explanations. It's funny, I think I'm on the defense side about half the time, and defendants always think we need more time to explain things.